Your Bible, our second reading to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and he put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink of the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do? And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I will say at the beginning that the Lord... I'll say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek. The Lord has an interesting sense of humor, humbling preachers. because that we have these two names that are two opposite men, Balak and Balaam. Their names are so closely allied together. They sound so much alike that very often when I'm speaking about them, it's very easy to confuse one name for the other. So please bear with me as I endeavor to be straight as we get through this chapter and the next, and then also in chapter 31 as we hear a little bit more about Balaam. All right, so in this first section, and I have that as 1 through 12, notice how it goes. It's very interesting. There are very costly offerings that are set on the top of this mountain here. 7 bullocks and 7 rams are offered unto Yahweh. And when Balaam comes to the Lord, notice what he says. The first word out of Balaam's mouth is what? I have offered unto thee the rams and the bullocks. The implication is, see what a good little boy I'm being. Please give me a little something here. This is great wickedness. Balaam has already heard what the Lord would say to him regarding the people of Israel. Balaam has already heard, first of all, that he never should have gone, and now having gone, that he would be restricted to teaching, to saying only what God had put in his mouth, over and again identified in this chapter as Yahweh, the eternal covenant-keeping God who does not change. And Balaam, for his part, seeks every endeavor he can so that God might modify his position just a little bit and allow Balaam the opportunity to be greatly enriched by King Balak. This is indeed great wickedness. The folly of entreating God's favor against his revealed will is indeed great folly, and yet very common in our day. You maybe have heard this. You have been talking to a Christian friend. They have a profession of faith in Christ. It's a competent profession of faith in Christ. And so they have said to you, I'm going to do this. And you say to them, I'm not sure that's in keeping with these scriptures. And you may hear a response of something like this. Well, I've prayed about it. And we do hear that from time to time, do we not? And in saying, well, I've prayed about it, that is tantamount to Balaam saying, I've set up 7 altars. Give me leave to do what I want. I've done something for you. This kind of making deals with God is indeed antithetical to biblical Christianity. And so Balaam only proves himself more wicked by coming to God and saying, I've set up 7 altars. And so the parable that he's taken up then is that that the Lord gives him is that, you know, no, I'm not going to curse Israel and Jacob. I'm going to bless them. And like Balak says, yeah, you've blessed them altogether. There's nothing left. And so Balak says, I've got another idea. Let's go to another mountain. And from there, you'll be able to see a part of them. And so in your cursing, it'll only be upon a part of them. You won't be cursing them all. You'll only be able to see some of them from the top of this mountain. And then you can just curse that part. That's the implication there, isn't it? And so they go up to that second mountain. And Balaam comes back from the mountain after, again, offering 7 bullocks and rams. He comes back from that mountain, and that's when he says, well, God is not a man that he should repent or lie. He has said something, and he will most certainly do it. And then, although God doesn't have to, he condescends to Balaam and to Balak and says some things about Israel that are nothing short of amazing. He says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Do you hear that? That is indeed a most precious gospel truth. Why is it that God will not curse Jacob? Because in Christ, he sees no sin in them. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, this is where the preacher asks, are you in Christ? Because if you are, he sees no sin in you. He does not behold iniquity in you. He has poured out that wrath upon Christ, and Christ has exhausted it. This is what the Lord tells Balaam to tell Balak. You should not want Israel to be cursed. You should want to be like them, that God would no longer see sin in you either. What an amazing passage of Scripture. And in the next chapter, Lord willing, we will see why that's so, why he has not beheld iniquity in them. So, in spite then of their persistence to get God to do something apart from what he has said he would do, pressing him against that over and again, the Lord continues in mercy to peel back the veil and talk to them about the gospel, but neither one of them believe. And so they manifest their great hardness of heart. And in chapter 31, we will hear about Balaam, not only his demise, but why he ended up dying the death of the unrighteous. So then in the third instance then, Balak says, I've got another idea, let's go to a different mountain. And so they go to a different mountain. And this mountain has a very interesting name. What's the name of the third mountain? Peor. And what is Peor? Well, in our ensuing narrative, in just two or three chapters, we will hear that the children of Israel aligned themselves and allied themselves with what? Baal Peor. The worship of Baal on top of Mount Peor. How did they do that? How did it come to pass? In chapter 31, we hear that since Balaam was not given leave by the Lord to curse Israel, that he helped Balak to devise a way that Israel might curse himself. And so Balaam dies the death of the unrighteous. And in the ensuing chapters, we'll look at that. Thus ends the reading then of Numbers chapter 23. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.